Okay, here we are. Hour number two. Things, as you heard last hour, are clearly headed toward even more difficulty. And I've said this for some months now, that they're going to engineer chaos all the way through the so-called election. It's just another date on the calendar with a name on it. It means nothing. There does appear to be some infighting, some factionalized contention, and there may be two groups, one that wanted Trump dead and they're still enraged, and the other one, they set it up so it was... In other words, the controllers win either way. It doesn't matter. Trump survives. He will never do anything out of line again because he knows what his fate will be. If he's taken out, I still believe they had a number of false flag operations set up for major urban areas like Chicago, New York, that they were going to ignite that day and try to light off a lot of shooting and death and mayhem. They had to pull that down. That's my take on it only. But I think we pretty well understand what happened there, although there are some major questions that it's going to be years before they're answered probably. So we'll see. At any rate, the latest is, just FYI, for fun, this is called comic relief, the camel now leads Trump in 8 national polls. That's right. So says Newsweek. What a joke. The Zionist Mossad propaganda mill is running overtime. They're just playing this like... I can't believe it. How they're trying to pass this wretched woman off as presidential material is a joke in and of itself. All right. Are you there, young lady?
I am. As a matter of fact, I actually saw somebody with a T-shirt today for Harris 2024. Probably wearing a T-shirt.
Did they have a white cane, and were they in a wheelchair?
They were older, but you know they were ambulatory. But
well, see, they're living off the media.
Apparently, she has some.
They're living off TV. They're watching.
Yeah,
they're watching pictures. Oh,
yeah.
She sounds good. What do you mean? She sounds like a good leader. No, it's all bullshit.
No, we're in real trouble.
Yeah. Well, the trouble has already been ordained and planned. I think they have options. I think Pennsylvania was an option. If they get him, they celebrate. And that would have been one of the most replayed pieces of video, probably the most replayed piece of video showing Trump's head explode. That's the kind of Roman arena ethic we have now. It's bread and circuses. And there's no limit to the outrageousness of the entertainment. That's how they're doing it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's end times. The country's being taken down, and they're going to fight over the scraps.
Correct. Yep. Okay. Let's see. We've talked in the past about DNA integration regarding the bioweapon attacks. There are two bioweapons, remember. There's the virus, and there's the bioweapon itself, the injectable version. So these are both deadly, dangerous bioweapons. There's something called DNA integration, and it has to do with the idea that the Pfizer, Moderna vaccines, you know what I'm talking about, are full of billions, I can't remember how many, pieces of DNA. And what are they? They tried to get away with calling them a contaminant. Forget that. Not in my view. These are in there for a reason. And the big concern is, are these pieces of DNA going to be uptaken by your body and integrated into your body's DNA? And if they are, what will they do? We don't have answers for that. We're still trying to ascertain for sure that some of the contaminant DNA, these DNA plasmids, are actually being integrated into the body. There's no reason to think they aren't, because we have some indication that that is, in fact, happening. But there's a viral video out there we're going to play here. It's just 2 minutes long. Tell us more about DNA integration real quick.
Well, that would come from the pieces of linearized DNA. Right. These would have been broken up from the plasmid. The plasmid's circular, and that was used in the bacterial culture to generate the strands of mRNA. But somehow, the circular DNA and fragments of it, which would be linearized, ended up in these vials, and people were injected with them.
Billions of them. Billions.
And we're talking about specifically Pfizer and Moderna. This is not pertaining to the adenoviral vector vaccines. The concern is, linearized DNA, and we talked about this very, very early on because it was a concern. There was a researcher over in Germany, Vanessa Schmidt-Krueger, who just was aghast when she saw the data that was submitted to the EMA about the fidelity, the translation fidelity of these things was just appalling. And
In other words, they were a fit. They'll fit.
They weren't making spike proteins most of the time, or it was something like 45% of the time. You didn't know what you were going to get. The quality control was non-existent. So linearized DNA, she knew that at that time. She raised concerns about it. Nobody listened, of course. And now here we are, 2-3 years later. And people are finding out that, this linearized DNA contaminated every vial tested so far. And it's ripe for integration. When DNA is in a linear form, it can be uptaken by your DNA and inserted. And, the result, the consequence of that will vary depending on where in your DNA that it was inserted. It may do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's in the area of a tumor promoter or tumor suppressor, that usually spells cancer.
It's a trouble, big trouble.
Yeah. And these things, the Pfizer anyway, had that SV40 promoter in it, which in and of itself is not oncogenic, but it does drive the genetic material into the nucleus. So I can just imagine the people who have taken these shots, the concern that they have right now. I mean, it just must be utter terror.
I don't know how you can deal with it any other way. Fright, terror,
constant
anxiety.
Well, you just throw up your hands and
stress.
There isn't much you can do.
No, there isn't.
Other than pray.
No, you're done. And that may be, honestly, the most universally available technique for trying to battle this horror. Pray.
Necessarily mean that every single cell in the body was transfected and had this integrated.
It doesn't have to. Right.
No, it would be a mosaic and probably really random because these lipid nanoparticles were like a dirty bomb.
Right. Wow. I got an email from someone, and I won't identify the person, but thank you for writing in, because we do care. We want to hear from you. I always do. And Madeline last hour mentioned med beds again. Med beds don't work for me at all, and they've been off limits for a long time. So I just can't let that go by without saying something. It's not to insult or offend anybody. I'm not a believer in med beds. Sorry. And this gentleman wrote and said, med beds do exist. In fact, there are a number of centers, including one in Butler, Pennsylvania. And there is a Tesla center where you can sleep on top of one of the Tesla generators for their med bed service. You can also buy the generators, and he gives me a link. They're expensive, $11,000 apiece. And then he was able to finish up by saying, I was told, keywords, I was told, these med beds will definitely work for vaccine injury and shedding.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, to each his own. Go to it. Write out that check for 11 grand. But I would just counsel you not to expect relief from spike protein infestation, shedding, or mRNA infestation via shedding. And if you've gotten the shots, this is a genetic change permanently to your biophysiology. And laying on something which has some kind of an energetic way of addressing dis-ease. Well, these shots are not, and neither is the virus, they're not diseases in the traditional sense. They're bioweapons. So you don't cure a bioweapon with a disease curative foundation, supposedly. Anyway, I just don't like that, so I would not suggest anyone plunk 11 grand down. There are many other things you can do for far less that can be helpful. And there are some real cultists out there who buy into this MedBed thing, and we don't. It's just a simple truth. Fortunately, we have a constitution still, and people are entitled. We always honor people's feelings, their statements, and their beliefs, whatever. But we have our own, and we feel a deep responsibility to present the best reality portrait that we can to people to make their own decisions. So, all right, enough of that. But shedding is deadly. The injections are deadly. And we do think also that having the virus, the bioweapon virus, the COVID bioweapon virus, every time you have it, you get more damage. More damage. Every time. And if you're four or five times sick, you've got trouble. Talked to a very nice individual the other day. I won't say if it's male or female. Person said that they had to take four shots for a prior employment issue. Four shots. One, two, and then booster, that kind of thing. And I said, how do you feel after taking the four shots as opposed to before? And the person said, I get colds all the time now. I get sick all the time, or very often. So what have we always told you? Your immune system is the first to have its ass kicked. The blood is destroyed. You know the drill by now. So there's just another one. And it's a very nice person. And I hope that people can come somehow to some kind of a resolution on how to deal with this. Because it's permanent. It doesn't go away. And this person has very little immune function left. If every cold that comes along tackles him or her, you have to figure it out. Anyway, enough of that too. So a lot of good people out there have been forced into taking this death through a needle. No more shots, friends. No more. And don't get the virus. Don't laugh it off. It's not something to be treated lightly. It's a very serious business.
Yeah, well said. You know, it will change your immune system. I mean, like Dr. Chetty had said, that, you know, this has permanently changed the immune systems of pretty much everyone on the planet who has encountered it.
Yeah.
It leaves its mark.
Extrapolate from that with shedding, and you may have a higher percent than that. This thing doesn't play games. They did it. They didn't hold back. They really do expect that by the end of 2025, they're going to have a lot of dead people that are gone. And they've tried to replace some of them with the invaders. That's part of it. But good luck trying to get invaders to work when they're getting, 40 grand a year each in some kind of total?
Oh, yeah, it's some obscene amount of money.
All right. So they're not going to work. Forget it. AI will take their jobs if they try anyhow.
Oh, that's coming.
That's going on 25
coming.
Hours a day. Yep. Okay, back to the idea of integration. This is just 2 minutes. This woman is named, interesting name, we won't go there, and she says, I'm still in shock, so forgive me for stumbling over some of my words. And the title of this X post is DNA Integration Update. So let's I've listened to this, but it's a little bit meandering, shall we say, in places. Here.
Hi, everyone. I just wanted to give you a big update. I have been working with some people with a lab for DNA integration testing, and I just got the call back from them that my DNA is integrated.
Okay, just for openers, that means, I'm going to try and keep this really simple. That means that she's gotten injected, clearly. The pieces of linear DNA have been demonstrated to have integrated into her body's God-given DNA. I think that's what she's saying.
Found corruption in my mitochondria, my lungs, heart, and liver.
So she's gotten, talk about getting your butt kicked. She's already in heart, liver, lungs. She's got trouble. Not to mention the integration. So these shots take no prisoners.
Something that I wasn't expecting to hear, though, was I got the Moderna shots, both of them, and then I was injured, you know, right away from them. But they also found Pfizer in me. So I'm contaminated not only just by Moderna, but by Pfizer also.
Okay, dear friends, what does that mean? She didn't get the Pfizer injection, but they allegedly found Pfizer contaminants in her. What does that mean? Shedding.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really expecting that. This is obviously pretty big news for me. I can't say that I know of anyone personally who's been able to get this testing done. So I hope that this can help us move forward legally.
That's true. You can't just walk in to a GP or any hospital and ask for DNA integration testing. It's not available yet. It may at some point show up, but it's not out there yet. This is a rare one.
Hopefully it'll help us find treatment. Hopefully it'll help us get some accountability in the legal department. I hope you guys can all share this and we can work together, and hopefully now that we know that basically what they did to us was absolutely gene therapy, then we can get some help, get some accountability and some justice. It's criminal.
Too bad that they're so smart and they figured out in the beginning to tag it with the expression gene therapy. Therapy has an innate positive spin to it. This is anything but that. It's not gene therapy. It's gene destruction, corruption. It's catastrophic. All right, so
yeah,
what's being
is.
Said about this? This
well,
video?
All right, okay. So this obviously got the attention of a lot of people, not the least of which was Dr. Jancy Lindsay, who has been very outspoken on the harms from these things for quite some time. She was
right.
The first to ask the question. She asked, did they have your liver and lung biopsies / aspirate biopsies to test? I don't mean to be intrusive at all. I'm guessing that you tested positive for the SV40 and spike unique to the plasmid from the Pfizer vax as well as Moderna DNA plasmid sequences over mRNA sequences from your descriptions. Did they take needle aspirated from your heart? In all this, did they just tag these cells by origin of organ? by other markers in free blood. I'm trying to understand how they obtained the samples from you to test them for the various organs. We are also doing some testing, so curious as to methodologies. Thank you. Now, no reply. And Kevin McKernan, who is the one that is actually testing, if you remember, Nurse Lindsay House, her DNA to see if there was integration. And evidently, according to Lindsay, who was on our program, several weeks ago now, they do have the results, but they are not prepared to publish them just yet because I suspect they're, you know, dotting their I's and crossing their T's to make sure that what's about to be published is going to withstand scientific scrutiny. I mean, there is a process to all this. And so, not surprisingly, this little video that went viral today got the attention of Kevin McKernan. And he said, "We are very sympathetic to your situation, and we are working hard to sort this difficult problem out. Just know that every time we post about this, we get an influx of people claiming they found Marburg, Ebola, nanobots, venom, cyanide, and graphene oxide in the vaccines with no data. This is a deliberate effort to dilute our data-driven yes. efforts with noise to confuse the public on what to believe. So we have to scrutinize each of these claims as a steel man argument or in the eyes of the skeptics in order to not delude ourselves with confirmation bias. The first critique that will be leveled at this study is how did they get the IRB approval to perform invasive biopsies for sequencing? How did they handle the mitosequences in the vaccines that could easily be mistaken for integration events?" So I guess we're going to find out fairly soon whether or not, you know, there's any truth to her statements. You know, when you go public with something like this, you better be prepared to back it up.
Yes. I don't know how she's going to respond to the people criticizing and commenting about that statement. It's a big subject. It's a very important aspect of this.
And it's a complicated one.
Not that we don't have 1,000 others, just about. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's not good. So I don't know what to say. This integration thing, we're watching it. What is Jancy Lindsay's current position on the integration aspect? Can you sum that up? I don't remember. So much going through my head all the time.
Oh, no. Well, she's spoken about it, you know, since we learned of it, you know, well over a year ago now. It's real. It is a, you know, grave concern for the issues I stated earlier, cancer being one. But and then, of course, if, you know, you were to have children in the future, you know, this stuff can be picked up by both the sperm and the egg, if there's any eggs left at the end of this. And then affect future generations.
Yeah, there won't be any. This is among the many things this bioweapon, this dual-edged bioweapon attack on humans does. It's sterilizing both males and females. That's obvious. The big question, the bigger question is, can shedding end up doing that? And I think the academic answer would be, in theory, yes. You can't rule it out. If Stephanie Seneff is right, and shedding is throwing spike and mRNA, you're toast. This is
and,
not
and there
a
does,
joke.
You know, see, no. There does seem to be some people who, you know, were unlucky when these things were first rolled out. They had no intention of getting these injections, and yet they happened to be around people who did, and they were just slammed. And some, to this day, are still struggling with whatever they were contaminated with. And it may well have been the mRNA. They have the ability to make these, to make self-spreading vaccines. They have that ability. The only question is, did they use it?
Yeah. We'll see, I guess, in time. The birth rate in the U.S. is way down. It's not going to go back up. It's way down. I don't know what the hell is. I can't remember the percent now. But this is a major historical turn in the wrong direction. No joke. So for those of you who have had the shots, you know how much we care about you and your well-being, your welfare. That's why we mention always Allison C. and BioSuperfood as being two of the most important things you can do for yourself to try to pick your immune system up off the floor and give you at least a little bit more of a defense against the common cold, so to speak. Some of those can be very bad organisms. You don't want them. And they threw so much into this mix of chaos when they started that, well, it's a flat earth thing, but they said there are no such things as viruses. Complete BS designed to confuse people. And
yeah,
they did a hell of a job. They're still talking about venom. Oh,
yep.
A guest last night said he can guarantee me that in every shot was, I think he said tap water too, is King Cobra venom. And I don't know. What do you say? You just say, you know, good luck. You're welcome to your opinions. Okay, let's see what Dr. Seneff has to say here. We've been following Stephanie Seneff for a long time. She's very smart.
Yeah, she's a
very wise lady.
She has published quite a number of papers on these injections, and her research is really quite good. I'm just, it's unfortunate it doesn't get more coverage. I mean, she just, this one was written in 2022, and I'm really surprised this is not getting more attention. This pertains to CJD, and she dug up some research that showed that there is a sequence on the spike protein that is a near match to a segment on the prion protein in humans, where if you were to generate antibodies against this particular epitope on the spike, it would be a match for your own, or for this segment on your own prion protein. And you could actually induce an autoimmune disease by sensitizing your body to seek out and destroy this critical area on your own prion protein. Now, this particular area just happens to be a critical binding site for copper on the prion protein. And when that site is not available or is defective in some way, then the copper that's elsewhere in the prion protein becomes toxic. And the prion protein, one of its jobs is to maintain copper homeostasis within the cell, so it will fail mm-hmm. in its ability to do that, and you will get iron toxicity. And the cell will die. It'll die from iron overload. And lo and behold, they know that when they analyzed convalescent plasma, which is plasma, you know, blood product from people who had the infection and then recovered, they were able to extract their antibodies and use them for, you know, therapeutically for people who were infected and struggling. People were actually making antibodies to that particular segment. So it's possible, it hasn't been proven, this is totally speculative right now, that the CJD that we're seeing may actually be autoimmune in nature.
Huh. Uh-huh.
Which may explain why it appears so, well, seemingly suddenly, but sometimes it can take a while for enough damage to occur before it becomes obvious. But it goes fast. And could it be that once the immune system is on this seek and destroy mission to seek out that sequence and destroy it, well, that would maybe explain why it goes so fast when it does occur.
Well, that's logical, and that's good.
So,
good thinking.
Here's the thing, though. So that sequence was generated from people, the antibodies to that sequence were generated from people who had the infection. That was before these vaccines, so-called vaccines. So the same potential is there, obviously, because it's the exact same spike protein. But here's another frightening thing. There's Chinese researchers that are looking to use that sequence. It's on the receptor binding domain of the spike. They're going to use that as an antigen in a vaccine because it's a conserved sequence. It's stable. It doesn't change. So they figured, well, you know, people normally identify and make antibodies against this segment. Let's use it in a vaccine. Well, what do you think that's going to do? Autoimmune CJD.
Yeah. This is not good. CJD, prions, this thing has so many different tentacles to it, and they interrelate to each other. I
know.
It's mind-boggling. Whoever put this together did a hell of a job, truly. And it's that bad.
I want to remind people, too, that the prion protein is present throughout the body. It is not exclusive to the brain. I mean, you have prion proteins.
Right.
It is highly expressed in the nervous system and the brain,
right.
But it's elsewhere as well. And there's a tie-in with, I just found a paper on breast cancer, having to do with dysregulation of the human prion protein driving breast cancer.
I think it's important to keep, we've tried to make that clear. When you hear the term prion protein, it doesn't automatically mean it's a misfolded brain destroyer, right? Because your body has them, makes them. It when they get tipped over, like all other proteins apparently can, or most, in the same fashion, and they go to a major organ like the brain, they begin to destroy it. And they cause other proteins to misfold as well. It doesn't all have to be done by the spike once the cascade is initiated. Keeps rolling.
Well,
along.
And you know the other side of this evil weapon is the autoimmune diseases that are occurring because there's so much similarity with the peptides or epitopes on the spike that the body mistakes its own proteins, you know, for pieces of spike and then goes around attacking it. Attack and destroy. So, you know, and probably one of the most devastating is when people start making antibodies against their own ACE2. And then inflammation is out of control. It's just nonstop inflammation.
Yep. Underscoring all of it is inflammation. And inflammation is... That's your ticket out of here, basically. If you become inflamed permanently, it'll just drag you down.
With no way to turn it off.
You can't. All right, here's Dr. Seneff again. She's making some interesting points, which will give you, if nothing else, a better understanding of the meticulous sophistication of these weapons. And I still wouldn't be at all surprised if humans had help, the evil humans had help from evil ETs, if you want to have fun with it. There's nothing fun about this, but it's too damned evil. This whole thing. It's astounding. So let's listen to what Dr. Seneff has to say. Here we go.
16 plus cells will come in there and induce an inflammatory response. And also, it has been shown, there's two studies that were done by Patterson, I believe, is a key author. I think that's his name. And the first study was looking at COVID-19 and people who had long COVID. And he found that they still had spike protein present in those CD16 plus cells 15 months after infection.
So we can almost assume that 15 months is by no means the cap. It could go on for years.
Mm.
We just don't know.
Spike is somehow sticking around for a very long time. That's very puzzling because the virus is gone, but the spike protein is still there, which is very, wow. Hard to understand, actually.
What does that suggest? You get the virus. I've got COVID. I've got the virus. And the virus is resolved, and yet spike protein is still around a year and a half later. Does the virus carry in any fashion mRNA instructions? Or how's the COVID replicating? I'm sorry, the spike. How's the spike replicating?
Well, it may not be replicating. It may just be sitting there, and it may just be difficult to get rid of.
Right.
It's
got longevity to it, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's why with the shedding thing, it's you tend to accumulate it because, you know, as much as you try to get rid of it, if you get another dose of it before you've gotten rid of the last dose, it builds up.
Okay. All right, here we go.
Long COVID. And he found that they still had spike protein present in those CD16 plus cells 15 months after infection. So the spike is somehow sticking around for a very long time. That's very puzzling because the virus is gone, but the spike protein is still there, which is very hard to understand, actually. And whether the virus is still being hidden inside, they don't know exactly why these cells are still able to produce spike protein so long after. It's a mystery. But these same people also looked at the mRNA vaccine and found the same thing. I think they found it was maybe 3 months or 4 months after the vaccine. These CD16 plus cells still had spike protein. So
You heard what she said. She just said she can't understand how the spike is replicating in the body.
Well, we don't know if it's replicating.
No. Well, something's going on. The spike protein
is not being cleared.
For sure. For sure. And how many proteins does the body produce that are needed to do things in the human body?
Oh,
have a round number?
10,000?
300,000?
No, 300,
tens of thousands.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it's crazy. Proteins are everywhere. So if the body is clearing spike, that's a very shrewd immune system at work. Okay? All right.
That's happening is a bit mysterious, and it could be, with respect to the vaccine, we've written papers that we're trying to get published about the vaccine with respect to reverse transcription and the capability of potentially converting the RNA into DNA, which can then survive long-term. RNA usually only lasts a short while. Like, RNA is produced, it makes protein, it's gone, like within a few hours, typically. These RNAs they're the things that code for the proteins, and the proteins are the workhorses of the body. But the RNA is constantly being made and broken down. But the RNA in the vaccine sticks around for a really long time. And that, in fact, that study, I think it was that same study by Patterson, it might have been another study, I'm getting these a little mixed up, but that showed that the RNA itself was still around 3 or 4 months after the vaccine. And that is just crazy.
So that suggests somebody created an RNA that is Superman. It's still there. It doesn't go away like it normally should. But that's really something.
RNA is not supposed to last that long. And they've rigged it so that it can't be broken down. They put in all these methyl pseudouridines, which makes it be a very abnormal form of RNA that resists breakdown. And they've also optimized it for making protein fast, and for continuing to make protein without being able to be suppressed. They've rigged it. They wanted it to be able to... They were worried about it getting broken down right away before it even had a chance to make protein. You wouldn't get antibodies. Nothing would happen. So they were very determined to make sure that it sticks around a long time. And I think that's very problematic.
Yes, so they did.
Yes.
Well, doctor, in the same chapter, you mentioned that there is another type of patients who express increased levels of those monocyte lymphocytes, people suffering from AIDS and AIDS-related dementia. Interestingly, in your paper, you also...
Now, that's an interesting statement. AIDS-related dementia caused by... Don't know. I've done a lot of research on AIDS. I don't know that there are proteins, rogue proteins at work, misfolded prion-type proteins. I don't know. That's interesting. Now, you've made a statement about shedding is airborne AIDS, which is basically true.
It can be.
Yeah.
I can't tell you the number of people now that are noticing, unvaxxed people, noticing a drop in their white blood cell count. Now, have they had the infection and they're mistaking it for shedding, maybe?
Yeah, the point is, you don't want to get the virus. You don't want to be around other people, especially other people who have just gotten boosted or whatever. They're coming out with the next version of the COVID booster next month, September. So there are going to be people, unfortunately. And we just called a couple, 3 weeks ago, talked to a Rite Aid and the Walgreens. And was it the Walgreens?
Or
was
one or the
CVS?
Other, yeah.
Anyway,
CVS,
one
yeah.
of them was... One of them was pumping out 100, on the average, about 100 injections a day.
Yeah.
Of this death bioweapon. Still. And that's just one store. Well, these people, when they stare at the mainstream media, they are taken to a reality that really is not their own.
Cite now deceased Nobel laureate Dr. Luc Montagnier, who discovered at least a half dozen HIV mini sequences clustered together in a short segment of the SARS-CoV-2 genome. And the doctor believed that this, along with other irregularities in the genome of the virus, provided that the virus couldn't come from the nature, but was engineered. So I imagine that this issue is extremely complicated, but what's your take on the connections and or similarities between COVID and AIDS?
Right.
And between those two viruses that induce those diseases.
And even just, is this virus engineered? And it feels to me like it must be engineered. It's just too weird to think that all of this could have happened by chance. And you have these laboratories where they were working on gain of function research. And they knew about these things. There's the furin cleavage site, which is unique to this coronavirus compared to previous ones. And that chops it up into two parts, S1 and S2. And S1, let loose, is very problematic because that's the piece that has the receptor binding site. So it binds to the ACE2 receptors and gets into the cells. And then it also has, just above the ACE2 binding site, it has this sequence that is it looks like an enterotoxin that's produced by Staph aureus, which is a very toxic molecule that can cause neurodegenerative disease and induces what's called a TLR4 response. This is a toll-like receptor response that induces an inflammatory response where you have this TNF-alpha and IL-1-beta, all these inflammatory cytokines that get released, and that's what's associated with severe COVID, is when you get too many of these cytokines in the lungs. But...
All right, you want to comment on any of that? Because that underscores what you've been saying to a very large degree.
Well, yeah, so that's the super antigen part of this thing that provokes the T cells. Normally,
which
pathogens
leading to inflammation.
The cytokines,
which,
yeah. So that's, one of the reasons you get a hyperinflammatory response to this protein, because it has that endotoxin sequence on it that comes from Staphylococcus aureus.
Staph aureus. All right. That's one of our constant companions, and very few people understand it. You're right. Let's go here. I've got to move this up here. Okay.
Vaccine is going to induce too many of these cytokines in the brain as a consequence of this toll-like receptor 4 response to this S1 unit of the spike protein, which has all this capability to bind to the H2 receptors, to induce this enterotoxin, which is going to cause this response, and then to have those HIV-like sequences. All of that together looks to me like somebody demonic was trying to design a virus that could just be as bad as possible. That spike protein is amazing. And to think that that just came about by chance is really kind of stretching your imagination. So I think it must have been engineered in the laboratory. But I think Montagnier is right. And Montagnier also was an author on a paper about the HCJD, critical Jakob disease, and it's a preprint paper. It hasn't been published yet. I don't know if it's under review somewhere. I'm hoping it will be published. They had, there were several authors on that paper, three or four, I forget, but Montagne was probably the lead. They found 26 people who had been vaccinated with the mRNA vaccine. Well, 23 of them were mRNA, and three of them were the DNA vector vaccines. But the 23 that were mRNA, all of them developed symptoms of CJD within 2 weeks of vaccinate of their second vaccine. It was exactly the same pattern in all of them. Within 2 weeks of their second vaccine, they developed the early symptoms of CJD, and then they progressed very rapidly. Many of them were dead by 3 months. All of them are dead now. So it's a very devastating neurodegenerative disease that these people, and this disease is extremely rare. Only 1 in 1 million people normally would get this disease, CJD. So it's just astonishing. The degree of coincidence there is not something you can ignore.
No, it's impossible. There's no coincidence in any of this. I admire her hesitance to make definitive statements, but I am not restricted. They put this thing together with components of HIV, all kinds of things. Whoever designed this, and I still think that humans may have had help. I'm not saying they couldn't have done it, but this thing is too perfect of a killing machine. And we're getting down into some serious science here. It's a little difficult to follow. But just understand that there is no coincidence that I've seen yet in any way that has to do with this HIV insert, the spike protein, and the receptors there. This thing is incredibly, it's like Satan's own kitchen came up with it.
It is. Yeah, it is.
All right, well, let's get one more little piece of information from Dr. Seneff.
And so then to say that it causes this disease, this is what interests me in understanding exactly how it does so. And I believe there are many answers. And I'll tell you, there's another thing about the vaccine that's different from the virus. The vaccine, they engineered it, not only they put in all these methyl pseudouridines, which makes it hard to break down, but they also changed the code for each of the, for many of the amino acids that they're in the code for the protein. They chose another code that, because there's multiple codons typically, to redundant code, and they chose another one to replace the original one with that was more likely to produce protein fast. So they were interested in getting a very fast production of the protein. But that ended up meaning, it ended up being the case that they added a lot more guanines to the RNA. It became enriched in guanine. And that is problematic because guanine forms something called G4s, G quadruplexes. We have the paper we wrote on innate immune suppression, the four of us published that earlier paper where we talk about these G4s. They're really fascinating. But these G quadruplexes, they actually gel the water around them. And there are papers that show that the prion protein actually binds to its own G4s. It has a lot of G4s. It binds to them, and binding to them induces its misfolding. So if you think of the spike protein being enriched in G4s compared to the original virus, more opportunities for the spike protein to bind to its own G4s to induce it to misfold into this toxic form. And
all right, we have to stop there. That's really discouraging to hear that. This just gets worse.
I know. I did it. Yeah.
CJD may be at a pandemic level among the vaxxed in various stages.
Well, and don't forget, though, as I said, the prion protein is present throughout the body.
It's there. It's just there.
So, if that misfolding process is occurring in other tissues, you're going to get a similar outcome. It will just manifest as something else. Maybe ALS, maybe Parkinson's, maybe whatever. Immune system
ALS
failure.
Fatal diseases she's talking about, every one of them.
Once the misfolding starts, not that a protein couldn't misfold. I mean, we have mistakes that happen routinely, but they're cleared. But if there's too many of them being generated and it overwhelms the body's ability to clear them, then it becomes progressive, and there really isn't a way to stop it.
Nope. By design, dear friends, all by design. They didn't roll the dice. They deployed the weapon. They knew what they were doing. This is not going to go away. Not on a med bed.
And don't forget.
Not on anything else. No, it doesn't. There's no reversing this.
Well, William Mackis had published something a while back, or extracted it out of the news, that, you know, what the anticipated spending is going to be over the next 5 to 10 years on prion-related therapies.
Uh-huh.
It was some staggering increase, of, you know, 300% increase in research on therapies for prion diseases.
It's all part of the transfer of wealth. The people behind us are just sucking up the wealth of the planet. In addition
to
killing,
they're having fun with their experimenting on people to see if, I don't know, to fix what they created.
Well,
they never
claim
seem to be able to do that.
Well, they know that people have hope. They'll play that. They'll play that hope card every time. People want to. They don't want to die. They'll hope. This is me. You mean it really might work, even if it's $100,000 a treatment every week? My insurance might pay for it. I think it's just you hold out hope to the hopeless, and they'll be there every time, hoping.
Well, particularly since there's no therapies right now for
none.
You know, and none that are hard and fast.
No.
True or effective.
No.
You know, they might be able to stave it off for a while, but.
Well, they're buying you a few weeks or a few months, maybe. This is damned hard to talk about. Because I'm not a negativist. I just don't. We aren't. We want positive.
Well,
news.
I'd rather have the truth up front. Just
that's what we're
face
doing.
It. You know,
that's
this
right.
This is what's been done, and we have to deal with it.
Yep. Okay. Very good. Thanks again to Dr. Stephanie Seneff for being such an eloquent and articulate scientist. She's been a great help to this program and to all of us, as have others. So we'll keep presenting for you. All right. Thank you. Have a good weekend. Take care.
Okay, Jeff. Thank you. You too. Good night, everyone.
All right, gang. Back with more in just a few.